This is Movers and Shakers, where we interview the upcoming generation of Make It Happen multifamily investors to share their story.
Welcome to the Movers and Shakers podcast. My name is Gino Barbaro, co-founder of Jake and Gino, multifamily investor, educator, father, mentor, and I'm joined by a special guest today. Today's guest used to spend his days driving the Great Plains of Nebraska as a health physicist. Mike Petrocchi still drives around Nebraska, but now he is searching for multifamily investment opportunity. He joined the Jake and Gino community in May of 2019 to connect with like-minded individuals, control his future, and create wealth on his own terms. Today, Mike is co-owner in 82 multifamily units and is a limited partner in another 650 units. Welcome to the show, Mike. How you doing?
I'm great, Gino. I'm great. Thank you so much for having me. I'm looking forward to today's conversation.
And as luck would have it, we scheduled this months ago, and we saw each other this weekend at the Money Mixer. Give me your ideas of the Money Mixer.
That's right.
of thought about it. I personally loved it. 50 students, bus tours. Big shout out to Colin Schwartz and Chris Pomerleau for opening up, and even their property manager Rachel and Bree was out there. They have an amazing team. They've built something amazing in the last 4 years. What were your thoughts about the Money Mixer? What'd you like about it?
Yeah, it was a great opportunity. And again, thank you for those guys, and thank you for your team for putting that on. I know it's a lot of work going into that. Mm-hmm. Coming off a pandemic, being inside enclosed for a full year, it's so great to get back out and network with people, especially like-minded individuals like the Jake and Gino community. Mm-hmm. You just kind of feed off each other, and you could sense that. And it was great to get back out there, see what guys are doing. And still having great successes even through the pandemic. So, I always enjoy those gatherings, and always love seeing friends in person and getting to meet people in person that we've talked to on Zoom for so many times. It's surreal, so to say, but it's
awesome. Do you mind if I share a couple of aha moments that I had this weekend, and then maybe you can think of one while I'm going? The first one for me was, everyone's out there saying, there are no deals. There's no deals. Everything's overpriced. And guess what? Colin and Chris have 1,000 units on the contract, and they went through a few of their deals, and they're pretty freaking amazing deals, everybody. That's what I loved. My other aha moment for the weekend was, these boys are getting very creative, whether it's acquisition fees and not doing waterfalls with their investors on one deal because it made sense, using creative financing, owner financing for part of the down payment, so they need to come up with less equity, less cash down, so they own more of the deal. The creativity, along with the deal hunting, along with finding deals, was my couple of big aha moments. What about you, Mike?
Yeah, Chris Pomerleau reminded me, he's like the Rain Man of financing. He just can rattle that stuff off, and is so quick and so fast. And you can kind of see that his mind is working at a faster rate than a lot of us. But, you can take a lot of those gems and apply it to your own investing criteria, right? So yes, it was so impactful. And then to see Colin's side with his operations. So, that was alone, just seeing those two, because one strengths is another one's weaknesses, right? Mm-hmm. And they both, really, really cater to each other's, strengths and weaknesses. And that's what forms a powerful team. And that, I think, was something that I learned kind of midway through being in Jake and Gino, is like, hey, you're not going to be able to do this on your own. This is certainly a team sport. And those guys alone are true examples of that. Right.
I love that. Thanks for that recap. Mike, why multifamily for you? What was the epiphany a couple of years ago when you joined? It was like, finally got to get going.
Yeah. Great question. So interesting story. Like I first got onto real estate, right? My wife and I were on our honeymoon, and we're taking this long trip. It was overseas. And I thought, oh gosh, I'm going to need something to read. I forgot to stop at the bookstore to get something. Flipping through Facebook, and all of a sudden Ken McElroy's ABCs of real estate investing pops up on my phone. So, I'm like, oh, I'll just go ahead and Kindle that, I'll read on. So I started reading on that plane, and it was probably a good 10-hour flight. And I kid you not, I read that thing nonstop. Even when we got to our honeymoon, I was reading through it, and it just blew my mind. And I'd never done that before with a book, because it had pulled me in on the aspect of things that were kind of our pain points at the time. Right. I'm married to a physician. We do fairly well. I got hit in the face with that first, joined tax bill that first year. And it was just like, oh no, we got to do something about this. So that was kind of my first aha moment for, for real estate. And so I got to listen to a podcast. I was introduced to a couple of guys named Jake and Gino, who felt like I was sitting there with them at the table talking with at an Italian family dinner. Right. So I instantly felt that bond with Jake and Gino, and and then it just grew, you know, books. You know, I started reading Rich Dad, Poor Dad finally. I read a lot of those things, Think and Grow Rich, you know, all those, you know, core self-improvement books. And that's where my mind shift started to change and realize that, you know, hey, real estate was kind of where I would find some of these answers from some of my pain points.
Mm-hmm. So that was divine intervention, I have to say, because yeah. you could have gotten Wheelbarrow Profits, and that's a great start. But I have to say, honestly, for my journey also, when I read Ken McElroy's book, he rips it down simple. That, and then he goes into, he has the ABCs of property management as well. But that first book, the ABCs you mentioned, that is an amazing book just to understand the simplicity of it. See, Rich Dad, Poor Dad tells you why. I think Ken McElroy talks a little bit about the how as well. We talk about the why, but he just simplifies and makes great stories. And I think God came down and said, I'm going to put this on your Kindle. I'm going to let you buy this book while you're on, because it's very difficult from the physician mindset. Let's talk about that. From you're in a great W-2 job, great physician mindset. And then all of a sudden it's like, wow, I get my taxes. And how do you convince your significant, you know, your spouse or anyone significant other, any attorneys or doctors hearing this, they might be like, you know what? I got a great job. I'm going to worry about that and not worry about investing in myself or worrying about investing in other assets.
Yeah. Great point. You know, it really has to do with how we grew up, right? Mm-hmm. We grew up for the whole, you know, get a good job, get a good education, which we did. We got, you know, advanced degrees. And here we are sitting at jobs that, you know, we're all right, that pay well, but you just knew that you could see other people that were doing fairly well and they weren't as stressed at their job. Right. And so it was like, okay, I need to figure this out. Like I need to dig a little deeper into this. And so I think it was really tough in the beginning, you know, much like you and your family with coming to that, hey, I'm going to start investing in real estate. And my dad was, you know, he's an engineer, worked in land development, very smart guy. And, you know, I think that they had that sense of, hey, I want to protect you from what I've seen in development in real estate, and it's not good and it's not pretty. And I had to take that as like, you know, hey, that's my dad's mindset. And, you know, I certainly respect that. And, but I think that I can make this work, you know?
So what were the struggles that you had with, you know, I see mindset's one of them, but before joining Jake and Gino, what was the struggle that you were having about even getting into any kind of space? Was it even multifamily? Did you have your niche picked out, or did you have connections, network, the education aspect of it? What was lacking before you joined?
Yeah. So when I started, I first started like a lot of people, you know, I attended a local RIA meetup that was close to our house. We had just had twins. And so I didn't have a lot of free time. And so I got that half hour to just kind of shoot out there real quick, meet some people. And it was the same thing. It was just a great community. Don't get me wrong. It was all single family investors, you know, fix and flippers, wholesalers. And, you know, at the time we were building a new house and I wanted to rent our other house that I had just redone. And it was in a great area. And so I was kind of struggling with like, do I rent it? Do I sell it? Do I use it for other projects? But then multifamily always kept creeping in on my, you know, my thoughts. It's like, and when I talk to these people, they're like, you can't do multifamily here. You're not one of the big guys. You got to be one of the big, and we have some big developers here. Don't get me wrong. And it's just like, you don't fit the mold. And so I was like, I don't care what they say, I'm going to fit that mold.
It's right? funny, Mike, before you say that, you should have said to them, now thinking back, okay, you've got to be one of the big guys. But those big guys started out as little guys like Mike Petrocchi and like the pizza guy and the drug rep. That's what bothers me. If you really think about it, you don't just you're not born out of the womb as a big developer or as a big multifamily. Very few families pass down their wealth to the next generation or are born with a ton of assets. That's not how it works. Most people in this country are self-made. It's first generation, maybe second generation. So for all of you out there having that limiting belief of, well, you need to make money, you need to have a lot of money. No, you don't need to have that. You need to have a desire. You need to have a plan, and you need to have the willingness and the why. When Mike sees his tax return and 50% of his money is going to the government, that's a pretty big motivator out there. And when you have the inability to, I guess, I don't want to say save for retirement, but you want to have some assets. So when you do retire, you don't have to worry about your 401k. Social Security probably won't be here. And you have assets that are appreciating. All that is really important. Now, Mike, tell us your story about joining the community. It took you a couple of years to find, and you know what, 2 years, maybe a long time, but holding back from the limiting beliefs of, oh, you really maybe need to have, come from a big family or, need to be a big developer. Two long struggling years, but you finally got a really awesome asset. Walk us through those 2 years, your mindset and how you found the deal.
Yeah, certainly. So yeah, it started out with a bang and really driven and gung-ho and went through the education very quickly. Had a great accountability pod, of which I met, Mr. Jason Bass, who, is my partner on this deal that we'll talk about here. It's really a testament to this community, right? Of the people that you meet, because I started out with a bang and really gung ho and the market was coming up and it was, 2019. And I felt like I had a lot of momentum going my way. Mm-hmm. Had some things rolling, talked to brokers, started to go on tours, talking to bankers, the whole bit was rolling. And then the pandemic hits and, a lot of things kind of, were thrown at you, like life was turned upside down. Right. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's where you'll feel the momentum go from an upward momentum to a downward momentum. Mm-hmm. And I think some of the important things in life are, how do you pull yourself out of that downward momentum? Mm-hmm. How do you get out of that? Right. And so for me, having this community and guys like Jason Bass and Alan Z and Mark Lissia and all those guys were, they pulled me out of a somewhat of a tailspin there earlier this year, because, I was in a deal with a local investor here for an RV park and kind of fell through last minute. And it was just like, man, am I ever going to find something? Mm-hmm. And, to the power of Jason and Alan and Mark and those guys, is like, they kind of were my coach. They slapped me gave me a virtual slap on Zoom. And it was like, what are you going to do? Quit? Mm-hmm. Are you going to quit, Mike? And I was like, no, you're right. I'm not going to quit. So, that community, I would not be here talking to you, Gino, if it weren't for you and the group. Of these investors that I really am very thankful for.
So I'm going to play devil's advocate really quick, Mike, because the other aspect of that is you did come to the event. I met you at a Buy Right Bootcamp. So you did come out, you came to the Money Mixer. So it works both ways. You can have the most amazing accountability pod. You can have the most amazing community, my amazing platform. It can all be there. We're an education company, but we're also an implementation company. But we need you to do the work to be able to implement as well. That's the problem. It takes two to tango. You have the resources, you have everything, but you need to put in the hard work. You need to put in the effort. And I think a lot of people miss that fact. And for you putting in the hard work, going through the pandemic, continuing to underwrite deals, continuing to come to events, all of that really helps a lot. And I think that's what led to your success. So, kudos to Jake and Gino, but kudos to Mike Petrucci as well, as continuing to stay focused and to stay on the path. And obviously Jason Bass, big shout out to Jason, because he joins Jake and Gino about a little over two years ago. He finds his first deal in 3 months. He's a regular, 3 months. I told him a couple things. I said, Jason, make sure you tell everybody that you're in real estate. The next day he walks into a chiropractor's office and he goes, guess what? I'm in real estate. Chiropractor goes, you find a deal, we'll partner up. Boom, done. That one tip, that one piece of advice changed, I think, his whole life. Then coming to the events and like you said, you guys have your different strengths, and Jason is probably not one of them out there who's an extrovert, loves to go to events and makes a big noise. But you know what? He has his skill sets. You have your skill sets. You complement each other really well. And I thought it was awesome. So he had that deal. He sold it. He made a ton of money rolling it into the next one. Let's talk about this 82 unit deal. What did you like about this deal when you saw it?
Yeah. So Jason had brought this to me, probably May of this year, May, June. Mm-hmm. And so he would always, give me some underwriting for some deals down in Augusta. And so, after 2 years of knowing him and really touching base with him on these monthly or biweekly accountability pods, is like, I got to know the Augusta market, slowly but surely. And, it's not one of those knock you down kind of markets where you're like, oh, I got to invest here. Mm-hmm. But there was something there that I saw that I didn't see in Omaha. Right. And so when we underwrote them, the numbers look better. Mm-hmm. Like we could actually see this transpire. We had some conservative underwriting that was still going to make it and still have a pretty good, you know, offer on our deal. So I think, you know, to those students out there, the more you underwrite, the more you understand and you can apply to different markets, right? Mm-hmm. You make those small adjustments and you can just pull the levers to see what works and what doesn't. Mm-hmm. And so Jason brought this to me. Initially it was 52 units and it was a mom and pop. It was, you know, it was the thing that we all look for, right? The guy
you start that was drooling. Done. You start drooling when you saw that?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I was like, I go, uh-huh. You gotta be kidding me. This is like right out of the textbook. Uh-huh. I mean, it was just the guy shows up for the tour to show Jason around and he's just naming things off. Like, oh, I can't believe this is happening. All these kids throwing rocks at this. Like, oh, I got to fix this, all this apartment, you know, so it was just nothing complaints. Mm-hmm. And Jason says to me, he goes, I think we got him. I think we got him, you know, so we tightened our underwriting down and went after it. And I said, you know, we kind of asked it, what else does he have? You know, if he's this hurt with 52 units, he's got to have something else. Sure enough, he's got 30 units surrounding the 52. Mm-hmm. So we went from 52 to 82 and then we asked if he would entertain the other 30 units and he wouldn't. He wouldn't do it. So Jason and I got back together again and we said, hey, we got to write this offer for everything and just let it simmer. Just let it sit, see what happens. And so that's what we did is we wrote it for everything, not really knowing anything about the other 30 units, right? Mm-hmm. We didn't know if there were studios, one beds, two beds, whatever. We just underwrote it and we said, hey, we know we can get there with the 52. We think we can get there. Right. So that's what we did. Let the guy, we sent it out to the broker and the seller was leaving that Friday to go to Florida for his daughter's graduation. And I said, just give it to him on Friday. Let him think about it. We'll get back to him on Monday. Sure enough, on Monday, he had thought about it enough. I think he had spent the money in his head. He had already bought a place in Mexico, I think. And he said, yes. So it was on. And so we rushed with due diligence. We got a great team in Augusta with Auburn Realty, who is our property manager. Mm-hmm. They have contractors on site ready to roll. I mean, Jason had everything. He's a maintenance and operations manager of a power plant. So, I mean, he's good at that. So yes. That's his cup of tea. So he had those people rolling, mm-hmm. went down there for due diligence. And we thought, oh man, this is just getting better and better. You know, as we went through it.
So let me ask you the two nuggets that I take away from this, everybody write this down. The first thing is when we're talking about the deal, tell everybody what you do. You're a multifamily investor, change your identity, let everybody know, because you never know who's around, because there may be a broker in the area, maybe an investor in the area, somebody looking to invest. And the second thing was always ask if they have other deals. Because mom and pops usually do have other deals. And sometimes brokers don't even know. But if you're able to talk to the mom and pop seller and say, hey, by the way, and I guess I can put a third thing. Don't be afraid to underwrite and put those deals together. You can give them two offers. You can give them the 52 unit one, and then you can give them one that's blended for 80 units. And I think those are the three highlights of the deal. What did you like about the Augusta market? What made it appealing to you? And how did you underwrite this deal as far as rent increases? What were the value adds on this deal?
Yeah, great question. So the area, there's not a lot of supply right now. Mm-hmm. There's not a lot being built. And they're projected to grow quite a bit in the next couple of years. Their fort, Army Fort down there, has been given the blessing from, you know, the Department of Defense to be the new cybersecurity hub. Oh. And so with that brings, you know, third party jobs along mm-hmm. with it. So those are more of the higher end pay scale jobs. Mm-hmm. But here we are, you know, more of the C-minus area. Mm-hmm. That we think we can take advantage of. So, you know, some of the value add things there is that the rents were never raised at all. There was never any mm-hmm. money put back into the property. The water bill was astronomically high. Mm-hmm. And we figured out that some of the water was actually being diverted to three other units that were no longer part of the property. So this guy was paying water for three units that weren't even part of his property. So day one, we cut that off and actually increased the value. Another great thing that we just learned, and you know, I don't know if I've really covered Section 8 housing very much in my education, mm-hmm. but this has been a great educational opportunity for how you can implement some of those Section 8 residents into your underwriting. Is that, you know, we have, you know, out of the 82 units, we have roughly about 50 residents now on Section 8 housing. Mm-hmm. And they're on a month-to-month lease with the former seller. Mm-hmm. We did go to the property manager and ask, you know, hey, we're looking to increase the voucher amount. What's the current voucher amount? Previously, it was about $600 flat per month for the Section 8.
Mm-hmm.
Our property managers were able to go to the counselor for the Section 8 tenants and negotiate a raise of $90 a month plus a $45 water utility bill back. So, I mean, that was just like our aha moment. Uh-huh. Like, okay, so you're telling me we don't have to put $5,000 per unit into this to get it to $750, right? That we can just, you know, have these units reinspected by the, you know, by the Section 8 and reclassify these and recertify them. And we'll get a $135 bump for changing a seal on a refrigerator or adding a railing to the stairway or just small things. So we spent,
that's 100 times 40. Let's say that's $4,000 a month. That's $50,000 a year. Just an increase. Do that at a 7 cap. We'll even call it a 7. Yeah. That's a massive amount of value. And you're not having to put all that CapEx in there because you're just, all you're doing, like you said, is you're recertifying. So I didn't mean to cut you off, but that is super, super exciting, man. Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that really moved up our underwriting because our goal was to get to that 30% delta to refinance and pull out our money.
Mm-hmm.
And so now that moved up everything and, you know, we'll see how things go. I don't want to, you know, put the cart before the horse, but that's very encouraging, you know, looking forward or moving forward. So I know there's some pain points with Section 8 housing, but you know, it's nothing that isn't manageable that we can't, you know, help because there are really good tenants in Section 8.
Yes.
So
I agree. They get thrown under the bus. Last form question before you go to the short answers. I should have asked you this before. Forgive me. How did you guys find the property? I mean, was this off market? Was it from a broker relationship?
Yeah. So, you know, it was a little bit of both. You know, Jason had been working this broker down there for quite some time and, you know, he's a New Jersey guy. So he's got a little, you know, elbow twist in on this guy. So he just said, hey, I'm looking to put my money into something else. What do you got? Mm-hmm. And so it was kind of a pocket listing.
Mm-hmm.
It was a broker that knew this owner that had sold a property, you know, 2 years ago. That's where Jason had his in. And that's how we moved. And we said, hey, we want an opportunity. We want to put in an offer for this property.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when he saw the number, the seller was pretty much, you know, let's go. So
that's another tip before we get to the short answers, everybody. Jason started out with a smaller deal. No deal is better than a bad deal. I always say,
yeah,
if you're starting out and you buy a 5 unit or a 6 unit or an 8 unit, it doesn't matter how big or small the deal is, just start. Cause Jason started out with a 16 unit. He made a ton of money on that, probably over $500,000, but that's not the point. The point is the momentum. That 16 unit will lead you to your 23 unit, which will lead you to your 40 unit or your 80 unit. So don't have the limiting belief of I need to go big from the very beginning. Just get into any size deal. Cause then all of a sudden your credibility is there. You're a closer. You can go to a broker, say, hey, I close a 7 unit. I'm looking to do another large unit. So I love that. Let's take a quick time out to hear from our sponsors.
Gino, I know a lot of our listeners are wanting to take their multifamily investing business to the next level. I know that you've been hard at work helping Jake and Gino students do just that using our framework. Can you explain to the listeners how they can get our help?
Guys, we've been hard at work growing our community of like-minded investors, and the results of our members has been nothing short of incredible. We're looking to grow this amazing group. What we're looking for is those who want to follow our proprietary framework that we've created. Buy right, manage right, and finance right. Leverage our connections, education, and mentorship as ways to take your business to the next level.
So if you're interested in finding out more about how you can become a part of our amazing community, apply to work with us at jakeandgino.com/apply.
Okay, Mike, I'm looking to get into multifamily. What would you say to the listener out there? What steps should they take? You know, everyone's got their own different journey. Like I said, you stuck through it, took you a little while to get a deal. I loved your path. You know, you have a great W-2, but you see the future. You say, this is what I want to do. I want to buy these assets. I want to transition into this full time. I'm just starting out. What do I need to do to get into multifamily?
You know, that's an excellent question. And I always hear the stereotypical education network, the whole bit.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for me, I think it was first, I had to change my mindset.
Mm-hmm.
I really had to change my mindset first. Mm-hmm. And that's something that I didn't realize right off the bat. I just knew that this is what I wanted to do. I wanted.
How did
to
you do that, Mike? Do but how did you change your mindset? I mean, I could tell people to go read the book Mindset by Carol Dweck, Atomic Habits by James Clear, you know, listen to Zig Ziglar, yeah. Jim Rohn. I listened to all that stuff. Secrets of the Millionaire Mind by T. Harv Eker really changed my mindset.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That, great that book.
That book, great book really yeah. made me understand that, hey, if you want to have a financial thermostat set to thousands, that's fine. But you have that, you are in control of that. And most of us don't think we're in control of that. Coaching really, life coaching really helped me out. What really helped you out?
Yeah, the same for me too. Is like I lived till the age of 38 without listening to Jim Rohn or Tony Robbins or anybody like that. Mm-hmm. I surely went on, hey, this is what I want to do. I don't know why, but I want to do it. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, to have those guys like Jim Rohn feels like my elder grandfather that was just like, mm-hmm. hey, you know, it's just such a great voice to learn from, you know, mm-hmm. and coming from a great spot. And so I had 38 years of this limited belief mindset that I had to break. And, you know, that's not easy to break overnight or within mm-hmm. 1 year or 2 years. Mm-hmm. I mean, I admit it's still a work in progress. It probably mm-hmm. will be, you know, until I'm 80. But it's one of those things that you realize is that you need it. You need mm-hmm. it to become a better person, to become a better person around other people, you know, because it really is when you get into that abundance mindset is that it is life changing. It is, mm-hmm. it is life changing and you don't notice it until you try it. Mm-hmm. And then you take notes on it and you're like, holy cow, this is working. And it's scary. You know, it's scary, but it's good. It's like, holy yes. cow, it does work. You know, so.
Mike, yeah, what books would you recommend? We already talked about, you know, I've already mentioned Atomic Habits, Mindset, Jim Rohn. You talked about Ken McElroy's book. What other books have impacted you on your journey?
Oh gosh. You know, there's so many and you take a little bit out of each one, but mm-hmm. you know, the biggest one for me was Unlimited Power by Tony Robbins. I sat down and read that and it was back when I worked in corporate and I was a regional manager and I applied it to some of the people that were I was working with or that I was over mm-hmm. And I made it more of about them and about becoming a better person based on some of those beliefs, right? Mm-hmm. And it helped so much. And when I left corporate, that person that I helped or at least kind of guided in that direction sincerely thanked me for doing that for her because she felt like it was something that had never been done before in her corporate life, right? Nobody had ever asked about her or asked about, you know, hey, how can you live a better life? Because I didn't care. I could care less about your bottom line. I was more of the, hey, what can I do for you as a person? Mm-hmm. And that, you know, that was impactful for me. And it made me really enjoy it. And I thought, God, maybe someday I want to be a coach. That'd be fun to be a coach and help these people out because I mean, my middle name was failure for the longest time. That's all I did was fail. I was so good at failing. I probably, you know, would have gotten first place in every failure ever. But, you know, looking back, that's those bruises and those cuts and scrapes are what mm-hmm. makes the person that you are today. So, I mean, embrace the suck, you know, mm-hmm. get your face bloodied. Enjoy mm-hmm. it and learn from it because you know eventually you become a better person and that's so true. So
what's the next step or goal that you want to accomplish? What are you looking for in the next year or 3 years?
Oh gosh. You know, as far as real estate goes, you know, it continued to grow, continue to network. And I don't think I've done a good enough job with networking. You know, you see people like Yosef Lee, who just networks like crazy and has done an amazing job. And mm-hmm. I went back and looked at the podcast and I was like, network. I got to network more. I want to network more. I want to just be a part of people's successes. You know, mm-hmm. I think that's important that, you know, I like to share in these wins with people and see them do well because I know the struggle's tough. You know, mm-hmm. it's really, it can be bad sometimes, mm-hmm. but you know, and some people are just made to just shrug it off and go. Other people just really get down in the dumps. So, mm-hmm. you know, it's everybody's struggle is different. Everybody's journey is different. But I, you know, there's a lot of people out there that are willing to help out and get you pointed in the right direction. So mm-hmm. that I think would be my goal and not so much units, you know, I think they'll come as the markets come and certainly want to be cognizant of the market currently, but you know, I'm just getting involved and helping. I think once you get help and good things will come from there. So
I'm going to help you with your networking here. Where can the listeners get a hold of you?
Sure. Yeah. That's of course, email. It's Mike Petrocci, MikePetrocci@gmail.com. You can certainly reach me by phone too, 402-215-9031. But yeah, I would love to reach out, talk to anybody that has questions or just, you know, want some good shot of encouragement. Cause you know, I honestly thought 2 years in, I was like, oh my God, I think I'm gonna be the longest running Jake and Gino member to ever close a deal.
You know what?
Thanks to Jason, Mike,
it's important. You either do zero deals or you do multiple deals. Once you get that first deal, I mean, things start happening. You start getting out there. You start feeling more confident. You're going to continue to underwrite deals. You've broken through that barrier. And for everybody out there, when you call Mike, his name is Michael Petrocchi, not Petrocchi. It's Petrocchi. I have to do it justice. Great Italian name out there. I mean, seriously, right. I want you all to reach out to him. He's a high level individual. He's got a wife who's a physician. I mean, he's there. He's in that space. Listen, 2 years may seem like forever. It's 24 months in a year that you've lived 40 years. If you really break it down, it only took you 2 years. We go to college for 4 and doctors go to college for 10 to perfect their craft. And you've done it in the first 2 years. So kudos to you. Any final words before we sign off?
Thank you. No, I just, you know, I want to thank you and your wife, Julia. Certainly you guys have been such an impact in my life and my family's and in this whole community. So yeah, kudos to you guys. Of course, Mr. Josh Rusin, who's not here today. But you tell that pretty face hi for me.
I will. And you know what? I miss Josh. Thanks so much, guys. Yeah, my pleasure. We usually do these and I know Josh is going to miss the conversation because he saw this past weekend. But hey, it's all about people, systems, and culture. Surrounding yourself with like-minded individuals. Like you mentioned Jim Rohn. Look at the 5 people that you're surrounding yourself with and then see if those are the 5 people that you want to spend time with because your peer group is going to make a significant impact on what you do. Mike, thanks a lot for joining us today. If anybody has any questions, please reach out to Mike. Hit him up on his email. If you have any questions for me, Gino@jakeandgino.com. Thanks, Mike. Everyone have a fantastic day.
Thanks so much, Gino. Appreciate it. Yeah.
Take care.